This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
All Barbra Streisand songs today for obvious reasons, because MSO next week are celebrating her 80th birthday with some gigs at Hamer Hall. So who's our next guest?
Well, fortunately enough, after that little segue, our next guest is Cameron Mitchell, who is the director of this show with the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, which is To Barbra With Love. Cameron, thanks for joining us.
I'm hoping that you weren't using that 40-year reference as my segue.
Well, we've heard you're much older than that. So.
Wow.
Go straight for the jugular, David does.
Oh, wow.
So why and how have the MSO decided to celebrate 80 years of Barbra Streisand?
Well, I think why not?
Well, of course, you know, like, hey, I know that.
No, it was the shall we say, brainchild of Mark Sutcliffe, who's producing the show. He came to me, I got a phone call actually late last year saying, how would I be interested in directing the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra's 80th birthday tribute to Barbra Streisand, and I thought it was a joke. I thought someone was playing a trick on me. I sort of stopped my tracks and said, what do you mean? It's almost like kismet for me. And I think, well, you know, there's no one more beloved across so many generations and so many different types of, you know, all sorts of people that love Barbra Streisand. You know, she's touched so many.
Yep. And you know, like playing all her songs today, the variety of music that she's covered is extraordinary. So you've got a wealth of music to choose from here.
Absolutely, she crosses all genres, you know, and throughout her career, she's always trying to challenge herself, you know. So every single style of music is in there, and also that's another reason why she is so beloved by so many different people that like different genres, including myself. You know, as a child, my mother would play Barbra Streisand to do the housework, and it was a bit of an annoyance to me and my sibling, to be my brother and I were like, here we go again. And but I was very interested in musical theatre as a child, and started quite young in musical theatre. So when the Broadway album came out, my mother started playing that, and I was like, who are you playing? She was like, and I realized it was Barbra Streisand. So then I went down the rabbit hole, as I say all the time, and decided to pull out all my mother's, the rest of her vinyl, you know, being the 80s as it was. And yes, I couldn't believe just the wealth, just the difference in the music and how every single album was different.
Mm. And the fact is, her phrasing of and how she holds a note is particularly challenging for most other singers, and also very at that moment she changes a song with the way she sings it and the way she presents it.
She always has said, you know, because her first love was acting.
Yep.
So as a child, all she wanted to be was an actress. Singing was something that she just, you know, obviously was born with the gift.
Yeah.
And she was known as the kid on the block that sang. Well, you know, she also says the kid on the block that had no father and could sing. And so the acting part of it was the most important thing for her. So when you hear a song, she completely does transform into different characters.
Mm.
It's whatever, you know, stories she tells. And so I found her as well to be such a great, you know, if it's telling stories through acting, if you just really listen, you can hear the character in the song,
yep.
every single song, yep. whether it's the pop songs or the rock songs on A Star Is Born, or even, you know, the musical theatre stuff.
Yeah, and so much emotion. She, when she delivers a song that, you know, a lot of the ballads, which she does a lot of them, you really feel the emotion of that song. She brings it out beautifully in her interpretation of it.
Yeah, I think one of the greatest songs, you know, when she sings My Man from Funny Girl in that finale, she insisted that they recorded the first half of it live. And you can tell, you can just hear just the pain in the voice, because she really does become the whatever character she's portraying. It's incredible.
Mm. And of
the
course,
breath control that you were talking about before.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But I love the fact that she teams up with some people that really surprise you. Well, we've been talking about Barry Gibb today, how the Guilty album that she did that with him, and he produced it and sang a lot of the backing tracks. And then Donna Summer, you know, the track that she did with Donna Summer, a disco song. You know, like she tried everything, didn't she?
Well, she tried everything, and she also did everything that everyone else told her not to do.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Which was incredible. And the fight that she, you know, from the very beginning, the first album, she wanted to do standards and musical theatre songs, and they were like, you can't do that. No one will buy it. And so she said, no, I love story songs. So she fought for that, and then she won the Grammy for Album of the Year for her first time out, the Barbra Streisand album. And then, you know, from there she was doing those sorts of albums, and then she said, now I want to do a French album. You can't do a French album. Well, why not?
Mm.
Because no one's going to buy it. Well, how do you know? And then when you keep going all the way through the pop stuff, the disco stuff, the Barry Gibb album, they all were like, you can't do that. That's somebody else. No one's going to buy it. And then when she went back, she said, I want to go back to do a Broadway album. The same record company that told her 20 years before that she couldn't do those songs because no one would buy them were saying it again, because the men in the suits changed over the 20 years.
Yeah,
so a whole new group of men saying, no one's going to buy it.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? And then again, with that album, she went on to win the Grammy for Best Pop Vocal Album. She beat Madonna and Cyndi Lauper, Pat Benatar. Like, basically again showed them.
Yeah, and then all the duet albums she did later in life as well, where some of them are just absolutely spectacular. Who she has aligned herself with.
She sort of was also very good at spotting other talent as well. You know, she, you know, true talent. She always liked to, you know, way back from Barry Gibb, you know, that was right off the Saturday Night Fever success.
Mm.
She's like, well, that I want a piece of that. I want him to come and work with me. She always wanted to work with people. She loved talent, you know, all the way up. You know, she sings Bryan Adams on the song From the Mirror Has Two Faces. She sings with Josh Groban. She sings with Celine Dion.
El Diva, you know, like that.
El Diva.
She had a great success with that band.
And I always found it funny that people would say she was such a diva and was so, you know, all about herself. Yet she worked so many different people, you know, gave people chances. Anyone that was self-centered would never want a Celine Dion to come on the track with them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Why would you say the up-and-coming brand new star? Anyone else would have said, oh, I don't want to go anywhere near her, you know. But she was like, let's do it together.
And I was lucky enough to, when she toured Australia, to see her live. And I thought it was going to be good, but she absolutely blew me away. And I was in Sydney. I was living in Sydney at the time, and it rained through the whole concert. And
I was there.
Oh, were you there? Oh, I saw you from a distance. No, I've got no idea. No idea.
I was the child in the pram.
Oh, right. Oh, I was. And I was the one with the walking stick, old man with the walking stick. And she was just brilliant. At one stage, she was in the middle of a song, and it was such a powerful song. And she looked up and stopped, you know, like in the middle, and went, it stopped raining. And then she went, oh, no, it hasn't, and went just back into the song, and everyone just thought it was hysterical.
What was amazing about that concert was that so many times when people said her diva antics and how this and everything, she just put on a dry as a bone.
Yep.
That was obviously a gift. Said, well, I'll just put on the dry as a bone. I'll go out there and sing in the rain. Yep. You know, so.
Yeah, and no, don't rain on my parade. Don't rain on my parade. boom, boom. Now, apart from the orchestra, which is going to be amazing with all her incredible catalogue of tracks, who's singing the songs? You know, like, or do we have to hum along?
Absolutely not. We're so lucky. I'm working with Caroline O'Connor, Australia's international music theatre legend. And the fabulous Katie Noonan, and alongside Elise McCann, musical theatre star, and Ryan Gonzalez, who is currently starring in Moulin Rouge, who is also coming along to, you know, help us, as well as doing his own solos. He'll be standing in for Barry and Neil.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, the Neil Diamond song, You Don't Bring Me Flowers, which was absolutely huge hit. Yeah, there's so much. And is there going to be a bit of storytelling in between?
Well, you'll have to wait and
come
see.
Along the scene, won't we?
Yes, everyone that's interested in that part needs to come along. You know, it's sort of, a lot of people say, what, you know, tell us what songs are in it. Tell us which ones you're using. And I'm like, maybe you should come along and hear them.
Yeah.
You know, and people said as well, like, you know, how do you choose these songs?
Well, I was going to ask that question. How do you choose the songs?
Yeah, I always say it's the ones you don't use. That's the issue. Which ones don't we do?
Yeah.
There's so many across the, you know, and of course, I also say, when would you like to direct this? My dream was, you know, let's do a Harry Potter and do it in two parts and everybody has to come back the following night and hear the rest of it. But that was vetoed. But really, of course, we have to, there's certain songs that people are definitely going to want to hear and you don't want to disappoint, you know, people have loved her. So many people have loved her for now, you know, 1964, the first album, I think.
Whoa.
So 1963 or 4. And that's a long time for people to be, you know, so you don't want to disappoint people. Come, oh, I hope that she's singing that. I hope that she, well, they are singing the song. And I think we've done it. I think that we will please people that there's something from every era.
Yep.
You know, of course, I wanted to try and put in some unknown songs so people can learn something, you know, and leave going, oh, I didn't know that song, and then go home and start listening to that. I really believe that everyone's going to be pleased when they leave.
I'm sure they will be. And it's called To Barbara With Love, Hamer Hall. What are the dates?
The 21st, the 23rd, four shows.
Wow.
Two on Saturday.
Right, okay.
Thursday night, Friday night, two on Saturday.
Right. It's going to be an amazing night. Of course, you are booked through MSO or the Arts Centre, because it's at the Arts Centre. Cameron, congratulations for putting this on. Let's hope it's a sensation and maybe you can come back for our 81st birthday.
I would love, we could maybe change it up, do part two after all.
Yeah, exactly. 1 year later, yeah. Thanks for chatting with us, Cameron.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Cameron Mitchell here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.